are glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Hello and welcome to week two of our Revelation Revealed series. We've been reading through the book of Revelation. We're up to chapter 11 and it's been really exciting. We've taken some questions and we've gotten to answer some of those and we've been really excited about that. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I'm the lead pastor of Redemption Church. I'm really glad to have access to you today, and I hope you are blessed. Don't be afraid of the book of Revelation. Don't be afraid. Revelation 1:3 says, "Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart what is written in it, because the time is near." So you shouldn't be afraid of the book of Revelation. It is a blessing. Last week, we told you that it is the book of Revelation, not Revelations. And so many times I make the mistake of saying, please turn to the book of Revelations and put an S at the end. It is singular, Revelation. And chapter 1, verse 1 of Revelation tells us the revelation. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave. The revelation is Jesus. Not just end time prophecy, not just a picture of what's going to happen, but it is Jesus Christ himself. John the Revelator received a revelation of Jesus, and when he sees Jesus, he falls to the ground as though dead. A revelation of Jesus changes everything. A revelation of Jesus is not a ho-hum experience. And really, we want to get inside the heartbeat of Redemption Church that we are not ho-hum about the appearance of Christ. When Jesus shows up, it's awe-inspiring. It knocks us to the floor. It is amazing. And not just the first time, not just when it's really exciting and gives you goosebumps, but every time he shows up, it is exciting. It is not a ho-hum experience because when Jesus shows up, a revelation of Jesus, it changes everything. Think you know Jesus? You need to think again, and you need to look again. Now, a lot is going on in the book of Revelation, right? There's a lot of mystery and intrigue to the book. The book seems to bring about more questions than answers. I've been studying for several weeks now and been reading the book over and over again. And every time I read it, I feel like I'm less of an expert. Expert's the wrong word. I feel like I have fewer answers and more questions. That's just how the book kind of is. Well, we want to try to answer some of your questions. And we're going to be doing that later after this sermon. Please text them in to us, 214-856-0550. We'd love to be able to talk to you. We'll make a video or we'll even text you one-on-one, and all the texts are kept anonymous. I'll tell you right now that we can't answer all your questions. There is a reason for the mysteriousness of Revelation. Much of it is a mystery, and here's the reason for it. The mystery is tactical. The mystery is tactical. Information is powerful. There are some things that you don't want the enemy to know. There are some things that we would all be in big trouble if someone who was our enemy found out about them. Like your internet password, yeah, you could get in big trouble there. Some of us have some deep, dark secrets that if they got out, people would judge us and maybe that would get us in trouble. I mean, there are some things that if that information got into the wrong hands, it could hurt us. There are even some things that we might not be able to handle if we knew ourselves. Information could hurt us once we learn it. Have you ever said to yourself, "I wish I didn't know that"? There is information that could also hurt you if the people who know the information were then to share that information. So information is powerful. In Revelation 10, John the Revelator has an encounter with an angel, and it's a weird encounter. The angel has a scroll, and John ends up eating the scroll, and it's a small scroll, and it's really kind of weird. But something really interesting happens in John in Revelation 10. In verse 3, seven thunders utter their voices. That's right, I said thunders. It's like thunder that has voices, and they speak something. Seven voices coming out from thunder. That's really blows me away. That's in Revelations 10 and 3. Now John hears the voices coming from the thunder, and he is about to write down what they said when another voice calls out and says, "Seal up the things the seven thunders have said." In other words, do not write them down. That's really interesting, right? Revelations 10:4. I've asked myself often, wonder what the thunder said. What did they say? That's a great question, right? Well, here's a better one. Why can't we know? Why can't we know what the thunder said? We are purposely left in the dark right here. There was something, there is a piece of knowledge that we aren't allowed to know. We're purposely left in the dark. Can I just speak to you for 1 second? This God that we love, sometimes he keeps us in the dark. The reason he keeps us in the dark, because he loves us. And the mystery is tactical. He's not keeping you in the dark for bad reasons, but for good reasons. But there are times in life where we are definitely kept in the dark by the Lord. Revelations 10 and 7, this is the same chapter, verse 7. But in the days when the seventh angel is about to sound his trumpet, the mystery of God will be accomplished, just as he announced to his servants, the prophets. Now remember, we're talking about mystery being tactical. And in Revelations 10 and 7, it says that the mystery of God will be accomplished around the seventh trumpet. Something big happens at the sounding of the seventh trumpet. We're not quite sure what it is. The mystery is tactical. Here is a quick lesson, a quick history lesson for context. So this is history lesson. Push up your nerd glasses for just a moment. We're going to be talking about some history. Alexander the Great. He was a young ruler of Greece, and by the age of 30, he had created one of the largest empires in the ancient world. He was born around 350 BC. That's over 300 years before Christ. Alexander left his mark on human history through military achievement. Alexander was known for taking on militaries that should have defeated him and his underdog army. But he would win these battles. And this is due to his brilliance in planning the attack. He would spend a lot of time coming up with battle plans, thinking about what's the best strategy to attack, how to attack, when to attack, where to attack. And then he would come up with these battle plans, and he would keep them absolutely secret. You see, he wouldn't tell his battle plans to anyone, not to women, not to his advisors, not to generals, no one. He wouldn't be heard over, you know, talking about this like to himself, and then his servants come in and hear him. No one knew the secret battle plans. You see, Alexander the Great knew that the mystery was tactical. The plan would only be revealed when the time is right. That was his way of thinking. And Alexander coined a word for these secret battle plans. The word for his secret battle plans is mysterion. Mysterion. This is the context for the word mystery in the New Testament. In the New Testament, when you read the word mystery, it's probably the word mysterion in the Greek, the word that Alexander the Great came up with. That's the context for the word mystery in Revelations 10:7. When it says that the mystery of God will be accomplished, it's saying that the secret battle plans of God are going to be accomplished. and it happens around the seventh trumpet. That's really interesting. God has secret battle plans. Can we just stop right there? God has secret battle plans, and they will only be revealed when the time is right. This is true for Revelation, and this is true for our lives as well. You can look through the book of Revelation, or you can look through the landscape of your lives and sometimes wonder, God, where are you? Where are you right now? I'm looking around my life. I'm looking around this broken world, and I'm saying, where are you? Where is your plan, God? And when do you think this plan is going to come for me? Because I am going through difficult times. Have you been there? I'm there. I'm there often. Just the way things are. Well, we aren't alone, because the martyrs in Revelation chapter 6, at the fifth seal, we see these martyrs in the altar of God, and they cry out. This is Revelation 6:10. They say, how long, sovereign Lord? That's their question for God. How long? So if you find yourself asking, how long, God? When and where and how are you going to do this? You aren't alone. The martyrs are doing the same thing in heaven. Sometimes it feels like God has no plan. Can we just be real for a moment? I'm being totally transparent with you. There are sometimes I look around my life and I know what God has called me to do. And I look around and say, God, did you really have a plan? Because I'm having a lot of opposition, and I'm trying to do these things, but these people are fighting me, and you've told me to do these things. You've told me, or you've told me to stop doing these things, but look, all this temptation's all around. All these things come at us, all right? Sometimes it feels like God has no plan, but that's not the case. It is not the case. His secret plan just hasn't been revealed yet. God has a secret plan, and it just hasn't been revealed yet. God is waiting for the right time to unleash his plan. And guess what? He is also looking for someone he can trust with that top secret information. The book of Revelation tells us that God does have a plan, but that they are mysterion. His plans are secret battle plans to be revealed only when the time is right. So when will the plans be revealed? The greatest part of God's battle plan has already been revealed to us. Did you know this? You should know this. You'll know it when I say it. Jesus is God's mysterion. Romans 16 and 25, we're going to be looking at several scriptures that lay out the mysterion that is Jesus. Here we go, Romans 16, 25. Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past. The word mystery there is mysterion. Jesus is that revelation. Jesus is the mysterion proclaimed to us. He's the mystery. Ephesians 3 and 9. And to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. Speaking of Christ, Paul declares that his job and our job as well is to make plain the mysterion that has been hidden within God and to administer this mystery. Jesus Christ is that mystery, and he was hidden in God. Colossians 1 and 26, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. Now hold on. This mystery that's been so top secret, that's been hidden with God, that has been hidden for ages and generations, it's now been disclosed. And who has it been disclosed to? It's been disclosed to his saints. Are you a saint? Are you a believer? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Then you've received the mystery. The mystery's been disclosed to you. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that powerful? How big a deal is Jesus Christ? I talked last week and gave the review just a little bit earlier about the ho-hum response to seeing Jesus. Far too many Christians have a ho-hum response to the gospel of Jesus Christ and the telling of the cross and when he shows up and when they hear a great testimony. Far too many Christians are like, ho-hum, I already knew that, snore, and they go to sleep. But I ask you, how big a deal is Jesus Christ? He is the mysterion of God. He is the mystery that's been kept hidden, and now he's been disclosed to us. How big of a deal is that? Are you living life like that is a big deal? Because let me tell you, friend, it is the biggest of all deals. Job in the Old Testament, he only knew whispers of his Redeemer. Abraham only knew the mysterious promise of a provided sacrifice. The prophets, they only spoke mysteries that they never fully realized or understood. Everyone in the Old Testament, Adam and Eve hung all of their hope on the promise that their seed would crush the head of the serpent. It was never fully realized in their eyes or in their heart or in their mind, but they hung all their hope on it. And now you and I are standing here and it's been realized, it's been revealed. That thing that's been hidden is now disclosed to us. And it is Jesus Christ, the mysterion, the secret battle plans of God. How big a deal is Jesus Christ? He is the biggest of all deals. He's the mysterion of God. Jesus Christ, the weapon of God. He has defeated death, hell, and the grave. Mark chapter 4, verse 11. This is Jesus speaking. He told them the secret. And the word secret there is mysterion. The mysterion of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables. The secret mystery has been made known to you. You've been invited in. But to those on the outside, it's still a riddle or a parable. Now let me tell you, just because you're coming to church today, doesn't mean that you're on the inside. Just because you are listening to this podcast or you read your Bible normally doesn't mean that you are on the inside and it's been revealed to you. Maybe you're looking at all this and it's a parable. Maybe you're looking at all this and it's confusing and a riddle to you. Well, you need Jesus Christ to reveal himself, and he will reveal himself. And right now you could ask the Lord to reveal himself, and he will. Because God wants to disclose this secret battle plan to you. Do you know that? He wants to reveal this plan to you. You are being invited into the kingdom, and the secret will be revealed. Colossians 2:2 says this, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. All right, so it is the mystery of the Father and Christ. So what is that all about? Well, let me tell you, they are one. Jesus says, when you've seen me, you have seen the Father. I and my Father are one. The mystery is amazing. The mystery is that Jesus Christ is fully God. He is fully the Father God that created all things, is dwelling inside Jesus. He is fully God, and he is also fully man. He was tempted in every way. He was a man just like you. He's born of a woman, grew up, and he died. He was a man just like us. Of course, he resurrected, and that was the Lord Jesus, the God of all gods, is coming up inside of him. And so he is fully God and fully man. That is a mystery. The mystery is that the Father and the Christ are in the same space and in the same body, and that is amazing. Christ is both the root and the offspring of David, and the Pharisees couldn't hardly understand it. The Old Testament prophets, although they wrote it down, they didn't really understand it themselves. Christ is the root. He is the creator of David. He was the one in the beginning that created everything. But he is also the offspring of David. He is also the son of David. He is the creator and the son of David. What a mystery. 1 Timothy 3:16 says this, beyond all question, the mystery of God, godliness, is great. He, being God, the Greek word there is theos, for God, God appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. When did God do that? In Jesus Christ. God appeared in a body. That's news for some people. That ought to take your breath away. Remember the first time you learned that? It took your breath away. You know why? It's the mysterion. It's the mystery. Beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. God appeared in a body. Colossians 1:27. God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery. Mysterion. What is that mystery? Here it is. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, wait a second. I want you to get this. The mysterion is not simply God's Son being filled with his presence, coming to save and die on the cross and be resurrected. But the mystery also includes you. God's secret battle plan includes you. It says, this mystery, which is Christ in you. That's you. God's secret battle plan includes you. That ought to blow you away. 1 Corinthians 15 and 51 says this, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This is the mysterion, and we call it the catching away of the church. Some people call it the rapture, all right? It's that mystery that we're not going to sleep, but in a moment, in a twinkling an eye, we shall be raised. The dead shall be raised. We shall be changed. When does it happen? It happens at the trump. For the trumpet shall sound, it says. That's really interesting, right? Well, you talk about a secret battle plan. The rapture, the catching away of his church, is a secret battle plan. It is mysterion. And it takes place at the last trump. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. All right, when does that happen? It happens with the trump of God. So both these times, we're pointing out here that in a direct correlation of the rapture, the catching away of the church, with a trumpet. That's interesting, right? God has a secret plan to rescue us from this world. Let's start there. God has a secret plan to rescue us from this world. We need rescuing from this world. This world is in such dire shape. There is so much hate. There is so much just wrong with this world. You open up your paper today and you see children being hurt and abused. You see people being sold in the sex trade. You see people dying of a drug overdose. You see awful, awful things in this world today. We need rescuing from this world, and that is God's plan to do so. The secret has been revealed to us, but you need to know this, that it is still a secret when he will come. Now, I told you earlier that something big happens at the final trumpet. Something big happens at that seventh trumpet. We read that in Revelation 10, and then we just read two scriptures about the rapture taking place with the trumpet. I'm not saying that that's when the rapture is going to happen, but it really gives me pause to think about that. Matthew 24 and 36 tells us this. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Verse 42, therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. So even though we know there's going to be a rapture of his church, even though we have an idea of the seasons by reading the book of Revelation of when that could be, we don't know the exact day. So there is still some mystery to when it will take place. Some things are still a mystery, and that's how it's going to be with God. There's some people, they never come fully to faith unless they can get rid of every mystery. Well, I'm here to tell you that that's not really faith. There's always going to be mystery when you are dealing with faith. When you're dealing with God, there's always going to be mysterion. Don't be frustrated by what hasn't been revealed. Please listen to this sentence one more time. Don't be frustrated by what hasn't been revealed. Make sure instead that you are walking in what has been revealed. And there are some things about the book of Revelation that aren't revealed. We don't know who the Antichrist is. We don't know who the false prophet is. We still have guesses on what the mark of the beast is. And definitely we are wondering when the rapture is, when the tribulation takes place. All these things, they're all mysteries to us. But there are things that have been revealed to us. And chief among them, the chief cornerstone of all the things revealed to us, is Jesus Christ. He is the mysterion of God, and he can live inside of you. What a great mystery and secret battle plan that is, and that we've been invited into God's secret battle plan. You know that Jesus is the Christ. That is such a powerful revelation. Do not take that revelation for granted. Any day, tell other people about that revelation, because that is the revelation that really makes the difference. Remember that he is the revelation of the book of Revelation. He is the only one that could defeat the enemy. Remember that. And only Jesus could lay down his life and then raise it up again. That's what he told Pilate. And he is the only one that could take the scroll and open up the seals in Revelation 5. Remember when we read Revelation 5 that they looked around and they found no one that was worthy. They found no one that could take these seals and open them. No one that could take this scroll. But then suddenly a lamb appears, and it looked like he had been slain, it says. And at that moment, everything changes. Before that moment, there is crying. Before that moment, there is fear and worry. Before that moment, there is no hope. But then a lamb shows up that was slain. And that's when hope shows up. Isn't that the way it is for your life? When the slain lamb showed up to Chris Fluitt's life, that's when hope showed up. But when we look in Revelation 5, something else changes. That's when worship shows up. A worship song comes out and they start singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is he to take the book. Worthy is he." You see, when Jesus shows up and you get that revelation of Jesus and you realize he is the only one, that he is the secret battle plan of God, worship ought to show up. Let me tell you, if you have a revelation of Jesus, you have no excuse to not be a worshiper. If you have a revelation of Jesus, you have no excuse to live an ordinary life. You should be living an extraordinary life, because you have been invited into the secret battle plans of God. I mean exactly what I'm saying. No dull lives for Christians. And you know that he is coming. You know that. That's been revealed to you. So keep looking for his coming. Keep looking. you know, we really don't think enough about the second coming of Jesus Christ. We don't think enough about it. I challenge you to think about it today and think about it tomorrow and make sure that you think about it every day. Then I have to ask you this, are you ready? If he came today, and we're instructed to live life like he came today, would you be ready if he came today? Did you know that you could be ready today? If you aren't ready, you want to be ready, I would love to talk to you about it. I want to make sure you're ready. The great mysterion, the secret battle plans of God have been revealed to you. He has invited you to be part of his plan. I just love that. Thank you, Lord, that you've invited us. So don't miss this opportunity. Have you been missing this opportunity? Wouldn't it be stupid to be distracted by lesser things? Later in the book of Revelation, we're going to be looking into the book of life. And everyone is going to be judged by what they did on earth. And there are going to be people that didn't know Jesus, and they're going to look at their life plans, and then they're going to look at the mysterion that is Jesus Christ, and they're going to say, oh my goodness, I didn't live my life right. I lived my life for lesser things. But guess what? They're going to be Christians on that day, people that are saved, people that actually enter in heaven, and they're going to look at their life, and they're going to look at the plan of God, and they're going to say, you know what? I could have done more. I needed to do more. I filled my life with meaningless things. Don't wait for that day. Right now, let's not live life by meaningless things. Let's not be distracted by lesser things. We are talking about the unbelievable secret plan of God. Job, Adam and Eve, Abraham, David, Isaiah, Daniel would kill for this knowledge, to know this secret plan that is Jesus Christ. You know him. You know him. And not only do you know him, he lives inside of you. Isn't that amazing? The greatest calling in your life is God's plan. Are you going to surrender to that plan? God's plan is a mystery. But do you know who it's really a mystery to? It's a mystery to your enemy. It is a mystery to Satan. He can't even comprehend God's plan. He doesn't get it. I want you to get a picture of this. You were on your way to hell. I was too. I was on my way to hell because of Satan's plan. He had a secret plan, and we fell for it big time, and we fell into sin, and he was dragging us to hell. We were on our way to hell. We couldn't turn around ourselves. We couldn't cleanse ourselves. We couldn't stop one thing. He is dragging us to hell. His plan was completely working. But then Jesus Christ came. Then that worthy slain lamb came. And you know what? He set us free from that plan. He came and he set us free from Satan's plan. I would love to see Satan's face when that happens, because he doesn't understand how it happens, because it's a secret plan to him. He doesn't understand how God could love us. He doesn't get it. He doesn't understand how God's Spirit could dwell inside us. You see, the closest Satan ever could get to God was to be near his throne. But you are way closer than Satan has ever been to God. Not only are you near the throne, God's throne is inside you. The one that's on the throne, that slain lamb, he's in you. Christ in you. That is the hope of glory. Satan can't even comprehend that. He doesn't get it. Satan, you don't get it that God loves us. Satan, you don't get it that we are his treasure. Satan, you don't get it that he would rather die than to live without us. Satan, you don't get it. God is faithful and he is true. You just don't get it. It's a mysterion more than anything. It's a mysterion to you, Satan. You don't understand it, but we get it. And he has brought us into it.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.